News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. A day after concluding the marathon hearing in the politically sensitive Ram Janmabhoomi Babri Masjid title dispute, members of the 5-judge constitution bench of the Supreme Court will sit in chambers today. A notice in this regard has been issued by the Supreme Court saying that Chief Justice of India Ranjan Gogoi and 4 other judges will sit in chambers where parties involved are not allowed. The top court on Wednesday concluded the hearing in the Ayodhya case and reserved the judgment. The bench heard for 40 days the arguments of the Hindu and the Muslim parties. It granted 3 days to contesting parties to file written notes on moulding of relief or narrowing down the issues on which the court is required to adjudicate. The protracted hearing in the Ayodhya dispute had entered the crucial final leg on October 14, when the apex court resumed proceedings on the 38th day after the week-long Dashera break. The Constitution Bench, which started the day-to-day proceedings on August 6, after mediation efforts failed to find an amicable solution to the dispute, had revised the deadline for wrapping up the proceedings. It had taken note of the report of the 3-member panel comprising Justice F.M.I. Kalifullah, spiritual guru and founder of the Art of Living Foundation, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and senior advocate and renowned mediator Sri Ram Panchu, that mediation proceedings, which went on for about 4 months, did not result in any final settlement, and it had to decide the matter pending before it. The BJP-JDU combine will fight the upcoming Bihar elections under the leadership of Nitish Kumar. BJP President and Home Minister Amit Shah, in an exclusive interview to News 18 Network Group Editor-in-Chief Rahul Joshi, laid to rest all speculation about alleged tiff between the two coalition partners, saying that their alliance was atal and that it was going into polls under Nitish Kumar's leadership. Shah said at the national level, the two parties were working under the leadership of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and in the state they will do so under the leadership of the present CM. When asked about the reported tiffs between the two parties, Shah said, "In a coalition, there are always tiffs and they should be considered a parameter of a healthy coalition. Only thing is that these differences in opinion shouldn't turn into change of hearts." Reports of tension between the two coalition partners started when Nitish Kumar led JDU, which was offered one ministerial berth in the Modi cabinet, refused to join the government. In a move which was largely seen as retaliation, Nitish Kumar later expanded the state cabinet and added more JDU leaders in it. The no-holds-barred interview will be aired across Network 18 TV channels today. News18.com will run special coverage of the interview throughout the day. The winter session of Parliament is likely to commence from November 18 and may last for a month, sources in the government have indicated. While there is no official announcement on the session, the indication from sources came after a meeting of the Cabinet Committee on Parliamentary Affairs to decide on the dates. The meeting was held at the residence of Defence Minister Rajnath Singh, who heads the panel. A formal decision is expected to be announced next week after the meeting of the Union Cabinet. According to sources, the session is likely to begin on November 18 and end in the third week of December. In the last 2 years, winter sessions have been convened on November 21 and ended in the first week of January. Besides various bills, the government plans to convert 2 crucial ordinances into law during the session. One ordinance reducing corporate tax rate for new and domestic manufacturing companies to arrest slowdown in the economy and boost growth was issued in September to give effect to amendments in the Income Tax Act 1961 and Finance Act 2019. The second ordinance, also issued in September, banned the sale, manufacture and storage of e-cigarettes and similar products. And law enforcement officials in several countries said they had arrested hundreds of people around the world for participating in a child pornography network that used sophisticated technology to hide its users' identities. Officials from the United States, Britain, and South Korea described the network as one of the largest child pornography operations they had encountered to date. Called Welcome to Video, the South Korea-based website relied on the Bitcoin cryptocurrency to sell 250,000 videos depicting child sexual abuse, authorities said. The site's operator, a South Korean named Jong Woo Sun, and 337 users in 12 different countries have been charged so far, authorities said. Sun, currently serving an 18-month sentence in South Korea, also was indicted on federal charges in Washington. Several other people charged in the case have already been convicted and are serving prison sentences of up to 15 years, according to the U.S. Justice Department. The investigation has led to the rescue of at least 23 underage victims in the United States, Britain, and Spain who were being actively abused by users of the site, the Justice Department said. Many children in the videos have not yet been identified. Welcome to Video is one of the first websites to monetize child pornography using Bitcoin, which allows users to hide their identities during financial transactions. And longtime foes North and South Korea played a World Cup qualifier on Tuesday, their first football match in the North in 30 years. But no fans were allowed in the stands and Pyongyang refused to broadcast the game live. There were also no goals. The last time the two sides met in a World Cup qualifier was in Seoul 10 years ago when the North lost 1-0 before accusing South Korea of poisoning their players' food ahead of the match. Reclusive North Korea and the rich democratic South are technically still at war because their 1950-53 civil conflict ended in a truce, not a peace treaty. National anthems of both sides were played before the match kicked off at the Kim Il-sung Stadium and the flags of the two countries were on display, the South Korea Football Association said. Two earlier qualifiers that had been scheduled for North Korea had to be switched to Shanghai after Pyongyang refused to raise the South's flag or play its anthem. North Korea had promised to provide footage of the match on DVD, the South's Unification Ministry said. We would need time for technical checks, but despite some delays, our people will be able to watch the game, a ministry official said, on condition of anonymity due to the sensitivity of the issue. North Korea's official KCNA news agency issued a brief report early on Wednesday, saying the qualifier ended in a 0-0 draw after a series of attacks and counter-attacks. Two players on each side received yellow cards, the KFA said. FIFA President Gianni Infantino was at the match and said in a statement that he was disappointed to see there were no fans in the stands. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.